look and be like, don't give me a ticket, mister. What can I do to, like, appeal to your compassionate side?
Lesbians do love friendship and poetry.
You know, it's called an English degree. Look it up.
Look it up, bitch.
Worried about him. You okay, bud?
What have I viewed here today?
Like, no.
Sorry. No, I won't do it.
Yeah, I'm making it sound really unpleasant to listen to.
No,
but like, 10
no,
out of 10,
no, I'm
I
intrigued.
Loved it.
BRB. I have some AO3 keywords to gotta do some searches.
Yes.
Welcome back. Welcome back to BoobTube. Today we're gonna finish season 2, episode 10, which is called The Bracebridge Dinner. But before we do that, let's have a little mini coffee clash.
I just need to say earthquake. I didn't feel it, but like, it's on everyone's minds. There was an earthquake.
It sure is. It's on the tongue of the nation.
Did you feel it?
I did not. But I have watched a number of TikTok videos of other people experiencing it. Crazy. The only time I've ever felt an earthquake, it was a couple years ago, several years ago now, when I was working at Booksmith.
Ooh.
And I was like in the basement when it happened. So I assumed that it was like a cart, because the book carts are heavy. And
yes.
I thought it was rolling. But no, it was an earthquake.
Wow. I'm really jealous of everyone who felt it.
Yeah.
It looks scary in New Jersey. I also saw TikToks.
TikTok.
I'm 10,000 years old. Anyway.
Oh my God. Quick. Okay. Mini coffee class.
Yes, story please, that please. I'll give. Yes.
When I was on my
period,
I went up on a, I went on a work trip. The last one that I went on. But when I was there. Oh shit. I forgot.
No. It's probably because I said period. I'm sorry. I'm literally the worst. I can't help myself.
What were we talking about before that?
Earthquakes. And you felt it. And I didn't feel it. FOMO. So sad. It was scary in New Jersey. Tic-tac. TikTok. I'm
so
old.
Sad. All right. It's gone. Never mind. Forget
okay,
it.
Okay. If it comes back, we should interrupt this program.
Okay. Okay.
And the last thing I wanted to say really quick is I finished my first embroidery project. I'm really proud of my mushrooms.
God. It's so sweet. You did such a good job.
Thank you. It was really soothing. I liked doing it.
Oh my God.
I was proud of myself.
That's so fun. Embroidery is the one thing that I haven't like expanded my craftiness. Okay, not the one thing. Embroidery is one major thing I haven't expanded my craftiness into. So it looks like magic.
I really like doing it. It does make me feel like I'm going to permanently cross my eyes from trying to see the little holes and get stab my thing in the right hole.
Yeah. That's true. That's challenging.
I'm so sorry I made you forget your story. Is there anything else you want to share
Wait,
from
it's
your
back.
Life?
Wait, it's back. The story.
Oh.
I was on this work trip and I was talking to a coworker, a new coworker, who I don't know very well. She's very nice. But she was talking about how her hangovers have been getting worse as of late.
Mm.
And I was like, and I had found out earlier in the day that she was 27.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, that's what I said. I was like, oh, when I was around your age, like definitely that's when the hangovers started getting worse.
Yes.
And she was like, well, you can't be that much older than me.
I was like, I got news for you, bub. That's because you're on TikTok, anyway. So everyone thinks you're young.
I'm so young and hip.
No, I think often gay. Like high school students will be like, oh my God, I thought you were like 19. And I'm like, pretend to be really like complimented. But I'm like, you just don't know anything because you're like, you are too young
you're,
to understand
19,
what old people
yeah.
look like. Okay. Anyway, okay. Back to the trenches.
All right. Back to Stars Hollow again. So here we are at the Independence Inn. It's the night of the big feast. This is the feast that the Bracebridge Group, which is apparently a paper company, paid for. They bought out the inn and bought all this food and staff for this huge event, like a 19th century multi-coursed feast. And tonight we're kicking stuff off. Maury and Babette are the first to arrive. Maury is peeved because he doesn't like being the first to arrive. He thinks it hurts his street credibility. Mm-hmm. Lane and Mrs. Kim arrive, followed by Paris, who's dropping off newspaper stuff tonight that simply could not wait. There's some more lesbian flirting via suggested copywriting edits, and Rory invites Paris to the feast. She agrees. Don't worry, we'll talk more about that exchange, I'm sure. Dean and his sister arrive. Dean is bummed that Jess is coming, and he tells Rory about the fight. First things first, I made the decision that Maury and Babette are the Zoe and Gabby inserts on this show simply because this them getting there so early and the way the room looks really reminded me of our senior prom that I made us get to like 2 hours early.
And then we had to go to the bathroom in the unisex hair salon because it was too early to go in.
Exactly. And I just, you know, I saw myself represented in Babette in that moment.
So does that make me Maury? Well, that's true because I want to be late. I guess so. Yeah. I mean, which, fair. Yeah, I like this line you pulled out where Babette says, like, don't freak out. Maury hates being the first anywhere. He thinks it hurts his street credibility. And he says, Charlie Parker was late to everything. And Babette, without a pause, says, Charlie Parker had more drugs in him than a Rite Aid. Forget Charlie Parker. And you pointed out it's just a world-class point.
We can't be trying to emulate the jazz musicians. It's just not a great plan. I think playing jazz, sure, excellent plan. I think trying to be like the jazz, the greats, the great jazz musicians. I mean, just a lot of heroin involved. So I would suggest.
Love that point. Love that
maybe
point.
Sticking away from it.
Yes. But. I also wrote, I want what they have, which is comforting knowing that we actually already are them. So I already have what I want.
I also do want what they have.
So cute.
Do we want to do this quick please, Paris and Rory?
Please.
So that we have it.
I'm going to be panting. I want to be Paris because she's the one who's like okay. Peeking yeah, on she's the horny ecstasy. One. So here are the materials in the double issue. Some of the articles are going to need complete rewrites.
Oh, drag.
Madeline's 500 words on test anxiety spends 400 of them arguing that stretch corduroy is the best material for low-rise jeans.
Well, let's see. Corduroy is a fabric, and the fabric of society is weakened when students...
You can't get there.
Yeah. It doesn't look like it. I'll get right on this tomorrow.
The way, the love that is beaming out of Paris's face as she's watching Rory like earnestly try and connect the corduroy to the test anxiety.
I've never seen her so happy in the entire she looks great span too. Of the show. And yeah, I said in the notes that the way she says, you can't get there, is said in the most loving tone I've ever heard Paris use. But I'm sure it's platonic, right? Whatever. Casual.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to see them make love on a bearskin rug.
Sorry, I lost you for a sec there, but you're back.
I'm ready to see them make love on a bearskin rug. Okay, good. I want to make sure you heard that. It's very important to me.
So wait, are you ready to see them make love on a bearskin rug? Just one.
So I am ready for that.
In front of a roaring fire? Okay, great.
A Rory fire?
Oh. So Paris has a line where she just says, well, my parents are out of town, so my because Rory asks her what she's yes. doing tonight. And Paris is like, well, my parents are out of town, so my Portuguese nanny will make dinner, and then I'll either get back to reading the Iliad or we'll play Monopoly. I crush her every time. And I said, this is exactly what Gabby's night plans always sound like. So I was like, oh, nothing. I'll probably enjoy a Marie Callender's chicken pot pie while edging myself with dishwashing over a period of 4 hours while watching The Terror.
Fuck yeah. Sounds incredible.
I'm just like, in my head, you're just like, you got The Terror on in the background and you just like flounce to the kitchen, you wash a single dish and then you flounce back.
I mean, flouncing
wait
is 15 key.
Minutes, go back, another dish.
Oh God. Yeah, no, that was perfect. I also like when she then gets on the phone with Nanny when Rory invites her to stay for the dinner and she's just like, I'm sure it's actually terrible Portuguese, but we just see her like shooting off with yeah. the Portuguese.
Yeah, she's like, obrigado. Like very yeah. down to business.
But I was so happy that they invited her and that she stayed.
Me too. And she seems like really excited about it. Usually when Paris agrees to do something with us, it's like very begrudgingly.
Yes.
But she's like kind of seemed into this. And then, well, we'll get to it. We'll get
yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah. We go to the kitchen really quick. Suki says the food is tasting too 20th century. It's got to taste older. Lorelai walks in and Rune is changing in the kitchen for some reason. And I agree with the editor's note, hygiene. Ew, I don't want those body hairs floating around.
It's a kitchen. We just can't. We gotta. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's not okay. His pasty thighs, they're not acceptable. And Suki is her usual spastic self. Like she can't think of the word for salt. And is, yes. like, freaking out. But it's, like, fine. It's, like, a controlled freak out.
Right. It seems like kind of business for usual as Suki, for Suki. Like, things are insane, but the food is getting cooked.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
We're back to having the, like, army of chefs around her who are just sort of, like, mm-hmm. adjusting to her wackiness. And
right.
I did, like, at the end of the scene when Lorelai is walking out, she, like, stands directly behind one of the male chefs and, like, whispers into his neck hair, like, have the oxygen ready.
Oh, yeah. I did like that.
That's pretty funny.
I like that very much as like a shared, in general, as like a shared moment of stress between two people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something very funny about that. I want to steal it and use it in my own life. Okay. Emily and Richard arrive and they're greeted by Lorelai and Rory. They're both in really unusually good spirits. Richard is downright excited to carry his own bags upstairs. They offer to get him a bellhop or whatever, and he's like, no, I've got it. Emily says he's been in a good mood for 2 days. She doesn't know why, but she's not taking it for granted. And there is a look exchanged between Rory and Jess, but there's a lot of looks exchanged between Rory and Jess, so I don't know that that's notable, but it does happen.
Yes, some very wanton gazing going on.
Yeah.
I just really liked when Richard and Emily walked in and Lorelai goes, oh, the Joyless Luck Club.
That was funny.
I like when he says, the air seems crisper here than Hartford. He's just so aggressively jolly.
Yeah, I think I was just here to outline that, like, he's in a really good mood as compared to how he was the last time we saw him.
Yes, yes. And I like this moment where Lorelai says the thing about, like, hey, Dad, you happened to grab the wrong prescription bottle. And Richard's like, what? And Rory's like, nothing. And Emily's like, I think she was making one of her funny jokes. And Richard's like, ha, 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 went straight over my head. Because I just really like it when they can be like, we don't get you. We're not on your level. Yeah. But we're chill about it. Like, that's the best version that we usually get.
Agreed. Yeah, I like when they can value Lorelai without understanding her.
Yes, yes. It was one of her funny jokes, of course.
Right?
Went right over my head. These kids.
These kids and their jokes.
Yeah, they're funny jokes.
Then there's a little, very short little scene in the lobby that I'm just going to throw out there. Mm-hmm. Lorelai says some words. So everyone's in the lobby. I don't think I said that. Gather around in ye olde lobby. Lorelai says some words. Thanks the Trailing Paper Company for getting snowed in Chicago. She announces outside there's a fleet of horse-drawn sleighs and that everybody gets a ride.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Everybody gets a ride.
I just love that, like, she brings Suki out and is like, as usual, like, Suki's having a panic attack or something like that. And Suki is, like, crying, saying, like, it's fine. Everything's fine. And, like, crying, laughing. And I was just like, that is the voice of my people. Like, just affirming it's fine.
So that's every therapy session I've ever had.
Yes.
It's fine. I'm doing fine.
Yes. Everything is fine.
Tears.
We have a couple little Luke and Jess moments where I appreciate seeing how they're similar. I liked this little moment where, like, Luke says, you gonna go on the horses or whatever? And Luke says, you gonna go for the horses? And Jess says, I think I'll wait for the clog dancing, which also they're both little liars because they both end up getting in sleighs with the girls that they want to kiss. So, like, you're lying. So
maybe just shut up.
Yeah.
Maybe just shut your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not cool.
Maybe we just be quiet and we do what the women want. How would that be?
For once.
I think this next one could be you if you wanted it to be.
I'm ready. Just before we get out of that, there's a moment because Dean brought Clara, his sister, who Rory made cry last season. And she's like asking Dean to take her in the sleigh. But there's this little moment where Rory's like, who is this brazen woman competing for your attention? And I feel like that is one, how I talk. But two, like another weird moment of like, you guys are weird.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's cute. It's fine. I'm not calling the police. But yeah, I was just like, when I pulled it out, I was like, you're weird.
Why? But why, though?
Truly. Okay, so we go outside. Lorelai is amongst the sleighs. There's a tiny, mysterious man talking to Luke about horses. Did we miss something? I don't know if we've met this person before.
That's what I was saying. I think he might have come around in those last two episodes. But
right.
And later, towards the end, we find out his name is...
Bootsy.
Yes.
So yeah, he's here. He's fun. Lorelai urges Luke to get in her sleigh. And there's a wink, which I agree with.
I didn't even need to put that wink in there. Like, it is a wink anyway.
And he does. He even puts a little blankie on. And Luke loves horses. Luke is a horse girl. Lorelai suggests he's into the horse's ass. Or nay. They're chatting. He says things are going great. He thinks things are going great with him and Jess. Last week, he discovered the secret of parenting, which is Jess, that he made up a lie to Jess about his mom wanting him to come home for school break. But Luke made it seem like he wouldn't allow it, when in reality, Jess's mom never called. And Lorelai says she thinks Jess absolutely knows about this lie.
Yeah. I liked that scene. I mean, I liked this whole scene. The horse stuff is funny. But yes. I just like that Luke lays it all out there. And he believes that he made up this lie to save Jess's feelings. And he thinks that, like, I don't know, that this is a closed case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Lorelai is just very quietly like, yeah, he definitely knows. Yep. Like, I hear you, sir, but I just know that he knows.
Because he's, like, bursting with pride to tell this story. Yeah. And then she just has, like, a 1,000-yard stare with her, like, piercing eyes and is just like, he knows. It's haunting, yeah. Frankly.
I like that she doesn't, she's not crowing about it. She's not like, ugh, you idiot. Yeah. Like, he definitely knows.
Yeah.
She's like,
it's sad that he knows.
I don't want to burst your bubble. Unfortunately, I have to.
Yes. And I do like these little parallels that they draw between Lorelai and Jess of, like, having parent conflict or, like, yeah, not leaving your parents at a younger age than one might expect and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I like that part of it. But yeah, it's such a dad thing that Luke is like, slays, who cares? But, like, beautiful animals, like, quite the horse flesh they've got here.
Such a fucking dad thing. That moment when he's talking to that guy Bootsy about horses and, like, I mean, no one pretends to know anything about horses. It's just such a dad, like, dude moment. Yes. Of like, yeah, horses. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And I love that Lorelai just turns it into, like, yeah, you love this angle. Like, the hiney of the horse is doing it for you. The shapely tush.
Maybe you like the horse a little too much.
Yeah. It is surprising to me that Luke has, like, landed on, like, visualization as his way of describing lying. Because he doesn't strike me as a visualization kind of guy. But
no,
whatever you got to do.
Hey, man. Richard, in Richard and Emily's sleigh, Richard's playing grab ass. He's, like, making little references to them having, you know, made the beast with two backs. He says something about her hair, how her hair looks nice, and it looks much better now than the other thing. Wink, 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 wink.
Then he also, like, ruffles her hair. Like, when I read this note before I got to the scene, and I was like, wow, that was spot on. He really is playing grab ass in the sleigh.
He really is. And she's loving it. Yes. She's, you know, like, oh, Richard, stop.
Yes. I'll hold your cotton candy.
Is that what you kids are calling it? He has this whole little speech about how he wants to take Emily on a roller coaster and how they're gonna go to Coney Island and, like, ride a big roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah. But you were right, like, Emily is lapping it up. Like, this is their, like, we had mushroom foreplay earlier, this is their foreplay.
Mm-hmm. And we find out, obviously, through this conversation, I guess, dialogue, we find out through this dialogue that they've been having, you know, more relations as of late. Like, this good mood isn't just today.
Yes.
Like, Richard is in a, well, they're both in a substantially better mood than they were the last time we saw them.
Yep. I just walked out of the scene saying I'm so aroused, and I stick by that.
It's a pretty hot scene. Now we're gonna bop over to Rory's sleigh featuring Jess. Unfortunately, she's like, there's nobody, because Dean is otherwise spoken for with his sister. Mm-hmm. There, she's going to take a carriage by herself. But of course, at the last minute, Jess, like, leaps into it and
he
hijacks,
can't get in
sleigh.
Like a normal person.
No.
Nope.
And Jess tells Rory, oh, so they talk about the fight a little bit. Jess tells Rory he was fighting what did I call him? Dink Waffle Hunter or something? Chuck Presby.
Something to lose. Fuck, I forgot already.
Kip to lose or something?
Something like that. Skip to lose.
Skip, that was it.
I prefer that to Chuck Presby.
All right, Skip to lose it is, who Rory says is a jerk, which is only relevant because it's like the show trying to buy that back a little bit, being like, oh yeah, well, he was fighting, but the guy was a jerk,
right? Like, he probably picked on Rory when she was at that school.
Exactly. And we find out that Jess does in fact know about the lie that Luke told him, and that his mom didn't want him to come, mm-hmm, for a break, or, like, didn't, whatever. He picks out Lorelai and Rory's snowman because it's distinctively them, and also it looks like Bjork. Jess asks what she and Dean talk about, what Rory and Dean talk about, because it doesn't really seem like they have much in common. Of course, he says it in like a really rude, mean way. Mm-hmm. And Rory gets irritated and disagrees.
Yeah, he's like, you guys got like a teacher-student thing going on? Because she says she's like played mm-hmm. him some Bjork or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was writing, why is he so horned up to hear about their intimate alone times? Like, it's just like, I understand it's his way of trying to worm his way in. Right. And like, I don't know. It's just weird.
But right now, all I'm seeing is a lot of mildly homoerotic attention between Jess and Dean, right. personally.
I mean, it also, I feel like as an old fuddy-duddy, I'm like, it feels less important that you and your partner have all the same interests and, like, knowledge, because then what are you going to talk about? You'll just be like, the Iliad starts like this, and the other person will be like, I know.
Yeah, like, okay. Exactly. Yes. 100%. It's not about what they know or do not know. It's how they react to what you tell yeah. them. That's like, that's the relationship part. But Jess is a little jerk.
A little dinkum.
Yeah. A little dinkum.
Okay, so now the money shot's coming up. Okay, we're back in the dining room. The feast shall begin. We're waiting for dinner to arrive. Miss Patty is horny. Richard compliments Lorelai's wonderful dinner. The sprightly horns commence the proceeding. Jackson arrives as Squire Bracebridge. The wig is noticeable, yes. I don't know what, I guess it was because it was so blonde and like the shape. I was like, it's changed him and he's disgusts me now.
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm overly attracted to Jackson on a good day. True. He seems to be a pretty big guy, and that'll get you pretty far in my, mm-hmm. in my graces, in my sexual graces, but I wouldn't necessarily, you know, go out of my way to do him, sure. but certainly after the wig is donned, it's a no from me.
Yes, and the rest of it is him acting like a big, sleepy, full child, which is also not hot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in general, I would say they really work to make Jackson as unhot as he possibly could be.
So true.
To me, anyway, to me personally. Yes, Miss Patty has this run about Claude, the silver fox with tight knee socks. He's one of our regular servers, but that she probably has seen before. But Miss Patty is really, the uniform is really resonating with Patty. And I did like that Lorelai sort of like gets down next to her ear and is like, all right, I'll have him bathed, powdered, and sent to your room. And Patty is like, oh, was that a joke? Oh, too bad. But I really love the bathe powder.
It was perfect. I want to be bathe powdered and sent to my room, like my own room.
Actually, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I like the juxtaposition between Richard, as you said, giving Lorelai all these compliments. And she's like, thanks, Dad. And Emily's like, your dress needs to be pressed. And she's like, thanks, Mom.
Is this is, I don't know, this might be like a, this was very, this resonated with me. I don't know if that's like a universal thing, because I would not say that my mother is particularly critical. It's just like a mom's role. I don't know. Like that moment really resonated with me that the dad can say specific things and the mom's just like mild criticism. Like it's not hateful. It's just like, I don't know.
Right.
I'm not describing it well, but.
Yeah, it's not like a one-for-one of my mom, but it's definitely like a feeling I've had about my parents before of like, dad is at work all day, so he can swoop in and be like, wow, you are, look at the perfect crown you made for your perfect princess head. And your mom is like, flush the toilet.
Right. And you like represent your mom in a different way.
Oh, yes. Oh, God, yes. So she's picking at you because she's picking at herself.
Right. Well, now as a dog owner, I feel similarly with my dog. It's like, no, you need different things from them anyway.
Wow.
Similarly with my dog, as your mom felt with her dog, which is you.
Her little bitch. But yeah, we get another little moment of Jess and Luke being on the same page where Jess says we should have eaten before we came. And Luke is like, shh. And yeah.
I love that. I love that. It's so short, but like.
Yes. Yeah,
they're just so alike in so many ways, and I love the way the show shows that. I love the way the show is like depicting them as being very similar, but not friendly.
Yes, but like finding those little ways smart. To be like, but yeah, you are right.
But they're the same. Yeah,
yeah. I did think it was like such classic Gilmore Girls when the soup does come and they're so like put off by the fact that there's like some cream on it, like a very normal thing. And like, I think parsley, like they both act totally mystified by the green garnish. And it's just like, are you raised in an Arby's? Like, this is not that weird.
I know, and I know that Luke works in a diner, but it's still the food industry. Like, surely.
Yeah.
Surely you know what this is.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get into this feast.
Please.
Richard is telling a story about here. Richard is telling a story about hearing some kids blasting Cher in Prague. It's, again, like, such a realistic fucking story. This is exactly what the person who is Richard would
absolutely
do in this situation.
And be so proud.
Yeah, I don't even think. Yeah, here we go. So there's kids like blasting Cher, and Richard's appalled because Prague has played host to some of the greatest composers in history. So he stands beside them and their boombox and starts humming Mozart's Prague Symphony as loud as I could. So fucking annoying to me.
And even Lorelai is like tickled by this. She's like, "Oh, a bizarro battle of the bands."
I mean, and truly, what are you going to say in this setting?
True.
Like, someone's telling the story. Of course, you have to be like, "Ha, you're so funny." But
everyone is really charmed by him because he does a good job of crafting the story. Like, the end is him being like, "And I kept humming, hoping some dumb tourists would pay me."
They've clearly told this story before. Yeah, mm-hmm, Emily, there's they have their little parts that they have to say, yep, and Emily's participating. So everyone's loving it, but I was just like, oh my God, you're such an old, annoying white guy.
No, 1,000%. Although, this is where I'm now old, where I'm like, but why would you play a boombox in public? That's rude.
Well,
on headphones.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's no longer relevant, but it is because of the phones. Like, it's the same concept, right? Phones playing.
True.
Whatever, yeah, kind of music. And I'm not for that, but I would never. This would
right
never be my method.
Right.
Of, yeah.
On my worst day, I would be like, "Excuse me, do you mind maybe turning that down?" But that would be if I was like on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
And it would have to be like, you know, they're in the museum lobby that I'm in. Like,
right,
they're, I think these people are just like on the street.
It's true. And you can just keep walking.
Right.
I like this little moment where Lorelai comes in and checks on Paris, because it's definitely like a Lorelai is a mom moment of, she's like, you know, how you doing? Like, oh, is there a pleasure that you were here? Like, I just want to make sure you're good. Great. And I love Paris having a good time. And then I love her run she goes on where she's so excited to tell Lorelai who's planned this thing. Like, did you notice the anachronisms? Like, the period discrepancies. Like, she talks about the language and the watch and the, like, the materials. And then she's like being so specific about how, like, the servers are wearing nylon blend shirts, and nylon was invented by a scientist at DuPont in the 1920s. And she's like, just so happy. She's like, it shattered the illusion. And she is so,
happy.
And Lorelai says, floggings will be administered.
I love that, too. I love that, like, wherever Paris goes and whatever she does, she's going to enjoy it or not enjoy it in her own way. Mm-hmm. And this is her way. She's, like, very excited to point out all of the flaws.
Yes.
And Lorelai, to her credit, is just like, got it. Like,
yep.
You know, does not take it personally.
Yep.
Knows Paris. Knows what kind of person Paris
yes
is.
Yeah. No, I
it's
like
very
that too.
Sweet. I liked it.
I like that too. Yeah, I think one of the notes I wrote here is, I just feel like there's a lot of weird little character moments that I think work really well in this episode that don't always work on Gilmore Girls. So they love their wacky characters, but there's just like, in this episode, I think it's really effective. And yeah, there's like a bunch of those weird little asides where like Clara at one point gets up and has like a Leon the Professional moment with Bootsy, where he's like, you know, how many beers? I lost track of how many beers I had. And she's like, 7.
Oh,
goodbye.
Right.
I'm going to go out and eat my dessert with the horses.
You know, you're so right too, because it didn't, usually those little asides like will derail me from the main. If there's like too much about one random side character, I get distracted because I'm like, what am I supposed to be remembering about this person?
Uh-huh.
And I liked that in these little asides, I didn't feel that way. Like, they didn't feel out of context or like we were oddly focusing on another character too much.
Yeah.
It was truly like, there's a big party going on and like, here are some vignettes, you know, of like who's talking to who.
And like people you wouldn't normally see together, like Michelle and Richard,
right,
or like even earlier, like Dean and Lane.
Yeah, so true. It was a lot of intermingling.
So true. So later, Lorelai and Rory are debriefing before bed in their room. Rory pulls back her sheets and Lorelai hid the ugly baby pictures in her sheets. Like,
funny.
She maneuvers her over to the right bed just to get this moment.
Yeah.
Rory asks if Lorelai has heard from Christopher recently, and Lorelai tells Rory there was a call that she forgot to tell Rory about, and she tells her everything in, like, a guilty rush. And Rory is like, wow, you're overreacting, you're jealous, but I don't know, I'm going to think about whether I want to go stay with them or not, like, TBD.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the conversation, is like Lorelai being like, I didn't tell you about this thing because I'm actually pissed. Like, I'm having a little temper tantrum, basically, about it. Like, she says, I have dibs on this time of year with you, not him. And yes, he acknowledged that, and that was cool and all, but still, it stinks because he put me in a very difficult position, because we were supposed to watch a lot of movies and make fun of Godfather 3. And the thing that I really, really hate about this is the idea of you not hanging out with me because you're hanging out there with your stupid stepmother.
Yep.
And this is fun because she had that call at the top of the show, and then so much has happened that we haven't touched back on this Christopher thing.
Yeah.
And I sort of, and also we haven't touched back on like Lorelai's internal monologue about that Christopher thing. So it was nice to sort of come back to it in this way where like we as the viewer have not been working on this problem, but like Lorelai has been in her head and sort of mulling it over.
That's a really good point. Yeah, we don't have like a scene where she like debriefs with Suki like she did when the grandmother wanted to give Rory all the money or whatever. Like, it's just been internal, so when it comes out, it's like a, it like makes sense.
Yeah.
I also liked earlier when she's trying to prevaricate and be like, your father, whose father? He called.
Yeah.
And Rory at some point after she's sort of revealed some of this is like, he invited me over? And Lorelai's like, yes, are you deaf? Trying to be rude to say. Sorry for Lorelai saying that. Yeah. And Rory says, no, I'm just trying to separate the gist from the blah, 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 which really made me laugh.
I'm glad you included that because it did make me laugh.
Funny, Rory. Funny.
Okay.
Wait, I'm sorry. You put this line in and you have to read it. This last line.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It's so funny.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Rory's like, oh, but I understand your territory has been threatened. And Lorelai questions that. Rory says, relax. There are ways to work through situations like this. Compromises can be struck. And Lorelai says, what are you saying? Rory says, well, you know, I can call you Mom and I'll call her Mommy Sherry.
Like, I love that Rory is just like, let me just twist that knife now that I know about it.
It's fun to watch Rory tease Lorelai.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not saying it doesn't happen often. I think it does, but it's just, it's such a loving tease that it's just nice.
Well, because it's making fun of the thing of like, let's just name the fear. Like, she's not going to be Mommy Sherry. Like, you're my mom. Right. That is a silly, that is a joke to say that.
So, so true. And especially relevant here because, like I said, like, we haven't checked back in with Lorelai about this. So all this has been internal.
Yes.
So she hasn't been saying the thing aloud.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And just like ramping it up in her head.
So true.
There's a knock at the door. It's Emily. She needs another room. She can't stay with Richard because of
betrayal.
Yes. She can't bunk with him. Lorelai says that she can stay with her and Rory, and that Lorelai and Rory will share. It truly is a Gilmore sleepover. Rory watches in horror as Lorelai and Emily make the same exact eye cream applying face. A face and gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory notes that she's looking into her future. And they all get into bed. Lorelai says the job was killing Richard. Maybe he had no choice to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily throws the covers off. Says she can't sleep. She's going for a walk.
Yep. Yeah, I love that moment where you, like, the camera is set up so that you can see Lorelai sitting at a little vanity and then Emily standing in the bathroom. And they're, like, doing the exact same little gestures. Mm-hmm. And then when Rory points it out and Lorelai like throws the little pot of face cream away from her, like it burned her.
Yeah.
Because I think Lorelai has very legitimate reasons to separate herself, but it's just such a universal experience to be like, no, I'm becoming my parents. Like, it's happening.
Yeah. So, because this moment is notable in a way that I don't know that we've had before on the show. And yeah, I was trying to put my finger on why, because if this had been another set of characters, it wouldn't have been so effective. But I think you're right that, like, because we spent so much time separating Lorelai from Emily, that there's this little unconscious part of them that is similar. I don't know. Yeah, it was just a nice moment.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, you also know I just love watching anyone put on makeup or face cream. So I was like, oh, this is great. I'll settle right in.
So true. Perfect.
Okay, scenes from a marriage. Emily is going on her walk. She walks into the lobby. Also, I should just say, both she and Richard are wearing, like, the richest, like deep purple burgundy satin. So naturally, Richard is there reading. He says he wants to talk. He tells the story of how he resigned that Zoe performed so beautifully at the beginning of our last episode. And Emily says basically, like, forget it. Let's just go to bed. Oh, well, not in an angry way, actually. At that point, she's not mad. Yeah. And she seems, like, understanding. We can talk through the scene more, but I really liked that ending part where you can see he's not blasé about it the way he was acting. Like, he puts his tiny glasses on and is talking about, like, their finances and, like, it'll be okay. Like, we did lose a few stock options, but, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's when she's, like, yeah, like, she sees him as more human and is, like, let's go to bed. Like, don't stress out.
Yeah, because he has thought about, because what she's responding to is that he made this huge decision without including her, which is to retire. And I think at the end of this conversation, he's telling her, like, I have thought about it. Like, here are, you know, it's not perfect. Like, it's not a perfect plan, but I have moved some numbers around and, like, we're going to be okay. And I think that is the point where she's like, okay, I'm over it. I'm going to force myself to be over it because,
yeah, you know,
it really is about his happiness. And clearly he's got a plan of some sort, you know, a financial plan.
Yeah, I think it also helps that he, like, walks through the extent to which he didn't know he was going to do it until he did it. And then like, it's still not okay, but he didn't want to say anything because he knew it was, like, a stressor and he was trying not to. Yeah. And he also mentions, like, he acknowledges the way he's been shitty leading up to that, which I do think is good because he really was being a nightmare.
Truly. And even beyond that, like, he says, I think this is the little area that I bolded just because I wanted to remember to talk about it. He says, he, like, just reflects on how he's been with Emily for the past few months. And he says how isolated I've become and all the social engagements I've made you cancel and all the friendships I've jeopardized. And you like order. You like lists. You like to know where you're going or what's coming. You like all things planned. And then suddenly I impulsively unplan our entire future in one fell swoop. Well, I couldn't face disappointing you again. I couldn't face telling you that I'd spoiled the plan. And I think that also has to do with it, too, where he is showing Emily that he's thought about her perspective.
Yeah,
like, he didn't
yes.
do all of these things completely in spite of her. Like, you know, he can give examples of how of the things that he's been difficult about
yes.
over the past few months or whatever.
Yes.
And additionally, he can offer examples of the things that Emily will lose in this transition of him not working, which is. Or not necessarily lose, but, like, the instability of their future. Like, he notes that and notes that that will be particularly hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's just a really good monologue, I think, of, like, showing that he has been so checked out of everything and so angry about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is him being like, no, I actually am a part of this family or, like, am
yes.
your partner.
Yes.
I see you, you know, I see myself and what I have been doing and how that's wrong.
Yes.
It's just very,
yeah.
It's very good.
It was really good. Yeah. I really like this moment for them.
Okay. In the lobby. We're in the lobby. It's the next day. It's morning and the guests are leaving. Bootsy is the name of the mysterious grump. Meaningful love triangle glances are exchanged between Jess, Rory, and Dean. There's, like, a lot of stuff about that. Like, whatever. It's... Tensions are ramping up, let's put it that way.
Yes.
There's a moment between Lorelai and Miss Patty where Lorelai points out that the server that she was lusting after last night is over there, and Miss Patty says, "Aw, he's wearing a golf shirt and some cotton Dockers." Lorelai says, "So it was the uniform, huh?" And this fucking line, Miss Patty's one-liners
yes.
are primo. Yes. She says, "Oh, it's the Biloxi Naval Base all over again." No further details.
So disappointed.
Okay.
Yes, Patty out.
Incredible. Yeah, exactly. Miss Patty drops the mic once again.
Yes. Yeah, incredible. We also get, like, yeah, in this, like, lineup of people who are, like, leaving, like, we greeted them on their way in, and now we have to say all goodbye to all our characters. We also see,
yep.
like, Suki sort of, like, nursing Jackson home because he drank yep. too much Nog or whatever. And... because Bootsy said earlier that he was singing Hotel California and banging spoons on his head. And Jackson was like, "Yeah, when that was happening, did I?" And Lorelai's like, "Lift up your shirts and play drums on your tum-tum? Yeah, you absolutely did."
He sure did.
And when Jackson is, like, you know, crumbling into dust, Rory's like, you kept a good beat. And Suki says, like, yeah, because God knows if a beat was off, you really would have embarrassed yourself.
That would have been too far.
Cute.
Yeah. And then I think it's just the last little scene. Rory and Lorelai simply must sleigh ride home. Mm-hmm. There's no other option. And we see that someone, who could it have been, has destroyed the Ringer snowman that was everyone was sure was going to win. So Bjork Snowperson wins by default. Ho hum. How odd. Whoever could have done this. And just wanted to note that they played Bjork over the credits, which I thought was a nice touch.
I would pay $1 million to know. I guess probably artists, now that I'm thinking about it, don't own the rights. But I love the idea of them like calling Bjork and being like, we've made a snow person of you. Can we play? And like talked about you. And here's the line. Yeah. Can we play Human Behavior? Like all your songs, a weird, sad song over the end of this holiday episode.
Yeah, and it is for the Gilmore Girls on the WB.
Yeah, like was she like, I'm a huge fan. Like, don't trust poets. I don't know. The TV isn't evil.
I hope so. The TV isn't evil.
And my last question was, has this episode now made it onto Zoe Hyde's rotation of, like, holiday episodes that you've been pulling the last couple years?
It hasn't yet, but it definitely could be on there. But yeah, it didn't pop up. Probably because it's not like explicitly holiday themed. It's just like holiday vibes. But yeah, I think it would be a good addition. It certainly was better than the Nanny Hanukkah episode.
I'm so disappointed. I would have loved to throw some nanny content into my holiday season.
Right? I mean, I was so excited. I was like, I'm looking for Hanukkah specials and here comes the nanny. Match made in heaven.
Yes.
Anyway, whatever.
Life is full of cruel disappointments.
It surely is. But that is the end of season 2, episode 10, The Bracebridge Dinner. Do we have any Gilmore Guide to Life things to note?
We do. Some very important parenting advice from Luke and Lorelai's conversation about the power of lies as a beautiful parenting tool. Luke says, you never lied to your kid. And Lorelai says, to save her from great physical pain, yes. When she was little and she would play in the kitchen, I told her that the burners were the devil's hands. But I would say it in a really scary evangelist voice, you know, like, don't touch the devil's hands. And she still doesn't go near the stove. So that's,
I missed this line. That's really funny.
That's a great story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see where it came up.
Yes. And then fun fact, the Bracebridge Dinner is a real event. It's based on the novel by Washington Irving, The Keeping of Christmas at Bracebridge Hall. It's been held at the Ahwahnee. I'm really sorry. I know I'm messing that up. I should have practiced this earlier.
Ahwahnee
Hotel in Yosemite National Park every Christmas starting in 1927, only excluding 2020 and 2021 due to COVID. Do we go? Wow. I am creaming my jeans to go to an event like this.
I would fucking love to. That sounds awesome. At Yosemite National Park? Wow. That would be really cool.
That sounds very special.
I've actually been to Yosemite National Park, surprisingly.
Oh, okay. But I guess some people are awesome. Really special.
Some people went on a cross-country road trip once. One time. Fuck, marry, kill. Gosh, we have so many characters to choose from in this episode.
I was thinking about the snow sculptor, but I think I'm going to say fuck Paris because she's just panting for it.
Just going to say that.
But I want to be Rory. I'm obviously not me. I'm not my old ass self.
Fair. Yeah. God.
Disgusting.
Gosh, okay. Well, if I can't fuck Paris, I'm thinking.
We can share. I can take the snow carver, too.
Snow carver. Yeah, I gotta go with Paris. That little exchange between the two of them was just
red
so charged.
Hot. Yeah. Yes.
I'm gonna marry Babette because I just loved that little, and also, you know, Maury will come too because
sure.
I can't say
yeah,
them.
Throuple marriage.
But I just love that little thing she said about jazz musicians or about Charlie Parker. And then who am I going to kill? Well, that's easy. I mean, well, is it easy? I guess I'll kill Rune again just because I really hate that guy.
Fuck yeah.
But Bootsy could also go, frankly.
Bootsy is a little weird. I have questions for Bootsy. I'm going to marry... I think in this episode I'm going to marry Luke just because I want him to talk to me about beautiful horse flesh while we're in our sleigh. Mm-hmm. And I guess if I'm fucking the snow carver, I'm going to kill Jess because, like, he put a lot of work into that snow creation. And, like, I get it. It was an act of love. But, like, it's fucking rude, man.
But, like, find another act of love, sir.
Yes, there's enough destruction in the universe and not enough creation.
You don't have to. And to destroy somebody's art. Like, I know that we were rooting. And first of all, I know it's snow. And I know that we were rooting for Lorelai and Rory. But come on. It is still art. Is Rory the villain?
No, but I just feel like this is setting up a pattern that I remember, and we all know that means nothing. I don't remember anything about the show, and I'm always wrong. But so, I remember that I think this starts a trend of Rory whenever Jess is being really weird and, like, putting him in really intimate situations with Rory or being shitty to Dean. Rory's whole thing is, like, it's not my fault. I can't control him, which is, like, technically true. She shouldn't have to answer for Jess, but, like, I think it sets up the sort of toxic dynamic where she just keeps being, like, it's not my fault that he's, like, entered us into, like, an oil wrestling contest, and, like, I couldn't possibly yeah. not do the oil wrestling contest. Like, that's not right. an option, so, like, don't blame me.
That is resonating. I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of, like, Rory handling Jess with kid gloves,
mm-hmm.
and it's not good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that resonates, yeah.
Which, that's not a villain. Again. That's being human. That's being a young person who, like, makes bad romantic decisions because you're super horned up. But, I get it.
Of course. But I do think it's relevant. I mean, is Rory the villain is really a question of us tracking Rory's various identities and status
so
as
true.
We go through the show.
So true. Because
so,
for the most part,
I do think it's relevant.
She's like a cherubic, like, lovely ray of sunshine, so any deviation
exactly.
from that is interesting. Yeah,
right. Yeah, whenever she has, like, a really strong personality moment,
yes.
it's that's always going to be notable.
Yeah,
she's like the Mary Sue insert.
Like, even in this episode, I think this happens quite a bit. There's a lot of moments where Lorelai will sort of pick at someone, and Rory's instinct is to be like, don't worry, like, you're good. Like, you know, she's still, like,
yeah.
laughing inside with her mom, but she's, like, really making sure the person knows, like, you know,
yeah,
no, you're fine.
Okay.
Like, you know, Kirk,
right.
don't let her torture you about your costume.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah. Huh. Interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
But we will have to explore that again a little more next week. Is it really the 16th episode? That feels like a lot, but I think it is. Our next episode is going to be season 2, episode 16, There's the Rub. Emily wins a weekend spa trip and asks Lorelai to join her for the relaxing holiday. Meanwhile, Rory receives some unexpected visitors when she decides to have a quiet night at home while her mom's away.
Ooh, I think I remember this one. I think it's really uncomfortable.
Ooh, I don't remember anything about these. I actually don't remember anything about this episode, so I'm excited.
I mean, I like that it's called There's the Rub, given my horniness level throughout this entire recording.
Yeah. So be sure to tune back in for that.
Thank you. I'm going to start this one. Thank you to the creators of our theme music, Laurel Wreath of Victor's on creativecommons.wikimedia.org.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We're at BoobTube Forever. And we're also on Patreon, www.patreon.com/BoobTube. And that's it. We'll see you at the movies.
Prithee, farewell. Gravy.
Prithee, yeoman!